welcome to New Hope Cowboy Church.
And God could have said, you deserve it. You turned away from me. I've had it up to here with you, Jonah. And sometimes we think God says that too. You're going to die. I abandon you. But listen carefully. It doesn't matter how far you run. You cannot outrun the grace of God. No matter how far you go, you cannot go further than what God can reach. Even though you turn your back on God, He will never turn His back on you. Write that down, write it on your heart, and never forget it. Because He comes after you.
Howdy there, partner, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Cowboy Wayne Cordero. Once a year, New Hope West does a cowboy church, featuring some good down-home country music, complete with steel guitar, banjo, and fiddle players. Pastor Wayne looked like he just rode in on the Oregon Trail. Well, here he is right now with a message on Jonah, a guy who God told to go east, but he decided to mosey on down to the west. It's a message called Wanted, Dead or Alive.
Well, if you take out your bulletins, we're going to be talking about wanted. But first of all, you know, if you're a cowboy, you're supposed to be rough and tough and grim. Supposed to have hair on your face, on your arms, and tattoos everywhere. But some of the best cowboys may not be like that. We're about to talk about one. But first of all, a funny story. There was a cowboy he was a tough, rough, grim cowboy in a bar, and he notices in the corner the city slicker. And he's just kind of playing with his drink, just kind of turning it around and around. For 30 minutes, the cowboy's watching this guy. And he thinks, this must be his first time in here. Because he hasn't even taken a sip of that. And the guy's just turning it around and around. He's starting to perspire. And he thought, oh, I bet he's just nervous. So the cowboy gets up and says, let me show him how cowboys do it. So he walked over there and he said, you baby. And he grabs the drink and he says, this is how you do it. And he just gulps it down. Bam. Ha, that's how you do it. And that city slicker starts crying. And he says, you baby, I'll buy you another one. And he said, no, this is the worst day of my life. What do you mean? He said, I had to put my dog down last month. We're behind on our mortgage. They're sending me threatening letters. And then I'm having marriage problems. And I go to work this morning and I get fired. And then I come out and someone dented the side of my car. And the story's not over. He said, I went home and my wife left me a divorce note. I'm done. I don't want to live anymore. So I came here to take my life and you come and drink my poison. That cowboy is in bad shape right now. But there was another cowboy that was in bad shape. It's in the Bible. You didn't know cowboys were in the Bible. I didn't either until I mistakenly picked up President Nolan Peeble's Bible. It's a pictorial Bible. You know, it's a little remedial reading. And I opened it up and I saw this picture of Jonah. And I looked at it and here's the picture. Look, he is a cowboy. And so I thought, I'm going to talk about Jonah. By the way, that's why you know that his theology is a little tilted. By the way, President Nolan's doing a great job. I passed the baton 2 months ago, and he and his team are doing fantastic. Fantastic. So let me tell you about another cowboy that's in trouble. His name is Jonah. God had spoken to him to go to a city in the east. But because he was afraid, he didn't like the people in Nineveh. They were terrible. They're terrible people. So he said, no, I'm not going to go there and tell them the good news. I'm not going to do services like this. No, I'm just leaving them. Let them die. And so he gets on a boat and goes west. The exact opposite. In fact, let's read it together. It'll come up on the screen. Let's hear what happens here. The word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to what? You ever hear God say one thing and then do the opposite? I think we've all been there. Maybe you got involved in a bad relationship and you ignored the warning signs. You ignored the whispers of God, and now it is a mess. We have a tendency when we hear God sometimes speak quietly to our heart because the Bible says it this way, be still and know that I am God. Because God will not compete with all of the cacophony of the world, the noise of the world. He'll speak so quietly that you'll have to bend your ear to hear him. I remember some time ago, I was playing guitar at a concert in California, and my plane got in late, and it was a big college concert, and they were noisy and raucous. And when I got in there, in those days, you don't have electric tuners. You have a fork, A440. You have to put it on the face of your guitar, and it rings, and then you tune your guitar to that. Well, my guitar had been detuned because it was on the airplane. And so now I've got to tune it up and I'm late. And they said, you're on in 3 minutes. I said, 3 minutes? I just got here. I said, yeah, what, you're on. So I opened the case up and I hit this thing and I put it on my guitar. I could not hear a thing. It was just so noisy. And so I hit it as hard as I could. Wham! I think I bent it and I stuck it on my guitar to hear that boo and still nothing. I thought, man, I'm in trouble. I'm going to go up there. I have no idea how this thing is tuned. But then I thought, you know, I got to tune this thing. So I hit it again as hard as I could, and I put my ear right on the top of that guitar. And when I did, I could hear it, and I could tune my guitar. But in order to tune up to that tuning fork, I had to put my ear right on the guitar. You know, sometimes we want to tune God down to us, but God is saying, no, you need to tune up to me, because that's when everything starts to work correctly. That's how I designed it. I am the creator. But the only way that you're going to be able to hear God is to get away from the noise of the world, put your ear to his heart. And when he speaks, you'll be able to hear. We've all done that. We've gotten into a bad deal, maybe took a job that we knew that God wasn't wanting us to take. Maybe you said a word or a phrase and you knew the Lord was saying, don't say that, Billy. Don't say that, Susan. Don't say that, Sally. Don't say that. And we said it anyway. How many of you have done that? And you know God said, don't say it. And you said it anyway. Yeah, stay away from these people. No, I'm just kidding. But we've all done that. And now we have to live with regret. It starts affecting your life, your family, your marriage. I was talking in the earlier time of my ministry to a guy that owned a gym in our town, and he had gotten in a fight, a fisticuff with one of his customers. I thought, no, don't do that. So I went down there, and he was being arraigned, and it was just a terrible time. So I talked to him a little later, and I said, hey, come to church. God's grace has been waiting for you. He looked at me and said, Wayne, I don't deserve going to church. I've messed up my business. Forfeited my whole reputation. Now it's affecting my marriage. And it's my fault, he said. It's my fault. So really, I don't even deserve God's grace. I said, no, don't say that. No, God's grace has been waiting for you, because for every setback, God has designed a comeback. For every dead end, he's designed a new beginning. For every mistake, he has a miracle. He said, no, God can't use me. And he felt like he was so disqualified. You know, we understand when God blesses us, when we do right, we're making the right decisions. But it's hard to understand God when we mess up and God still blesses us. But that's just the grace of God. Feeling undeserved and unwanted, we can all be there. But I want you to know that you are wanted. And you're being hunted. There's a posse out, but a posse of angels. And it's the Holy Spirit that's seeking you. Because Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. He's seeking us. How many of you are glad he's coming after us? And that's right where Jonah was. Jonah had forfeited everything that God was calling him to, and he just went exactly the other way. I mean, the opposite of what God told him to do. Now, he gets on a ship, and there is an uncanny storm. It's unusual. It is just out, it's like paranormal storm. It's like crazy. And even the people on the ship saying, this is nuts. This is like something else. What is going on? And Jonah finally admits it. He says, it's me, my fault. I'm running from God. And even the people that were on the boat weren't even Christians. They looked at Jonah and said, don't do that. But instead of saying, it's all right, we forgive you. You know what they did? They said, good, we're throwing you overboard. And they threw him overboard. Kaboosh, he's splashing, thrashing in the middle of the ocean. You know, sometimes when we mess up and things don't go well, we think that God is saying, I told you so. You should have listened. You deserve this. Jonah's thrashing in the middle of the ocean, wondering what in the world is going on. But God's not done yet. God, I don't know if he gets off his throne and finds a fish, this big old fish, to swallow without eating Jonah. That's quite a trick. So this great fish, we don't know if it's a whale, but it probably was. This big old fish swallows Jonah. Now he is sitting in bile in the fish's stomach. I guess on one hand, he's grateful to be alive. On the other hand, he wish he were dead because he's saying, like, this stinks in here. Look at me, I'm losing my tan. You know, the bile is bleaching him. And God could have said, you deserve it. You turned away from me. I've had it up to here with you, Jonah. And sometimes we think God says that too. You're gonna die, I abandon you. But listen carefully, it doesn't matter how far you run, you cannot outrun the grace of God. No matter how far you go, you cannot go further than what God can reach. Even though you turn your back on God, he will never turn his back on you. Write that down, write it on your heart, and never forget it, because he comes after you. Why? So why does he send all of this, these storms? Because he loves you. He'll do anything to stop you from going over the edge. It's sort of like this. Let's say you have a grandfather that you love very, very much, but he's going blind. And on the farm which you live, there's a huge precipice, a cliff. And you see your grandfather taking just a sauntering walk, just ambling towards that precipice. And just in about 10 steps, he's going to go over, but he can't see. So you yell at him, Grandpa, Grandpa, stop. And you start running towards him. He just keeps walking. No, I'm good. No, stop, Grandpa. I'm good. I've walked this path many times before. I grew up here. No, you don't see this. Stop. Now, if he keeps walking, I tell you, because he's your grandfather, and if you have to stop him, you will tackle him. Why? Because you hate him? Because you want to injure him? Because you want to cause him pain? No, I would tackle him because I love him so much. And you see, that's how God is. God will come after you, and there's going to be elements in your life that'll seem painful, like a storm, like a hedge that has come up. You're going to have all kinds of setbacks. It just might be God loving you. Can I say this? For many of you, maybe it's time to stop running. Stop running from God. Oh, we try. But when God puts his finger on you, you can run. It's like, run, Wayne, run. Ooh, you run so fast. Run, 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 run. Ooh, okay, you done? God loves us that much. Now, in the belly of the whale, let's say it's a whale, in the belly of that whale, he could have listened to the accuser. You deserve this, Jonah. You brought this on yourself. You don't deserve God's grace. You don't deserve God's love. You don't deserve his mercy. You might as well just end it. Go ahead, end it. When that happens, you've come to the end of your rope. But that's the time when you need to cry out to God. The Bible says this, in the midst of all of the trash and the trash talk, read what it says. Would you read this next scripture with me? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And because he knew God was there, here's what he did. Let me read Jonah 2:1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. In some versions, it says, I cried out to the Lord. When was the last time you cried out to God? Because see, a lot of times we just send up wishful prayers. Well, I hope it gets better. Well, maybe he'll change this. I hope this person will change. Those wishful prayers often go unheard. But when you're sincerely ready to change, and sometimes it only comes when you're at the end of your rope, then you cry out to God, I'm ready, God, I'm ready. And you know what the Bible says? God hears those prayers. Let's say you're in an airplane, 32,000 feet. Everything's fine. You're getting service, in-flight service. You have your meal. Everything is going fine. Music on your headphones. All of a sudden, you hear, and the plane starts diving towards Earth. Now you're at 30,000 feet. Now you're at 20,000 feet, and it's going down fast. All of a sudden, you know what? Everybody gets converted, huh? They all start praying. Oh, God, I'll quit cussing. I'll quit fighting with my wife. I'll quit kicking the cat. We make all of these vows to God. And starting to head towards Earth. And then your prayers get really fervent, don't they? Just as it's starting to hit towards the mountains, you can hear, and it starts to level out. Your plane is hitting the bottom of trees, but it's starting to climb. Oh, thank you, God. Now everybody just, they're worshipers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's interesting how you become Christians and worshipers when you're about ready to die. And then it finally gets up to 32,000 feet again, and everything is fine. You know what God is saying? He's saying, sometimes I've got to bring you down to 3 feet so you'll make some life decisions that you would have never have made at 32,000 feet. Here's the only thing I ask, is when I take you back to 32,000 feet, you will never forget what you prayed at 3 feet. That's the secret of life. But the only time that you were able to make those decisions was at 3 feet. He tackles us. Why? Because he loves us a lot. And that's what he did to Jonah. He heard his cry. The fish then kind of vomits, erps him up on the seashore. And then he walks to Nineveh and preaches. And a city of 120,000 give their lives to Christ. 120,000 receive Christ. I don't know about you, but if a prophet came like him that had seaweed hanging all over him, white as a sheet and smelled like whale barf, I would accept Christ too. 120,000. You see, God doesn't just save you from your mess to put you on the shore and say goodbye. He instills in you the purpose that the King of Kings designed in you in the first place. And he fulfills God's plan. God has a plan for every single one of you. If he didn't, he wouldn't have had you born. But the fact that you're alive and breathing and here tells me that God has a purpose for you. The best thing to do is say, Lord, I'm good in your hands. Where can I run? If it's to the heights of the depths, I can't outrun you. And the best thing to do is stop and give up to God. And that's what I'm asking many of you to do even yet today. You have a part to play, a part to say yes. Because God loves you so much, he will not violate your choice. If you choose no, no, ignore, ignore, reject, reject, then with tears, he lets you go. But until then, he's going to throw every storm at you. He's going to tackle you. He's going to send setbacks because he loves you that much. Well, God can't use me. No, no, no. You're not that powerful. God who creates the universe, you're not any stronger than that. And so the best is surrender to him who is Lord. Does that mean everything will turn out right? No. But in the end, it'll be good. Do you know that God can even use your mistakes for your good? He not only gets you out of the mess, he uses your mess as ingredients for a future and a bright future in your testimony. He'll actually use that to give you credibility. He'll actually use that to give you authenticity so that people say, see you and say, oh, he's got scars, but he has more than that. He has God's grace. Ah, and they see the grace. They don't see the scars. Let me finish with this story. It was 1929 in the Rose Bowl. UCLA was playing Georgia Tech. First half, the ball is fumbled. And one of the players from UCLA recovers the fumble, gets it, and starts running for the touchdown. 70 yards. People are yelling at him. Go, go. But in actuality, what they were saying was no, no, because he was running the wrong way. His own teammate, Benny Lum, tackles him at their own 3-yard line before he scores for the other team. When he realizes what he's done, he is shattered, just absolutely shattered. Halftime comes. Coach Nibbs Price usually has a lot to say during the halftime, but this time nothing is said, quiet. In the corner, Roy Riegels has a towel over his head and he's sobbing like a baby. Finally, the referee comes in and says, 2-minute warning, let's get going. So the team stands up and Coach Price says, all right, I've decided. Everyone's still. The same team that was on the field in the first half will go out to start the second. So they all run out, all except Roy Riegels, towel over his head, sobbing. Coach Price says, Roy, did you hear me? I said the same team will go out. That includes you. He said, Coach, I can't. I've ruined my reputation, slandered and embarrassed our team. I messed up the name of football all because of my stupidity. I was confused, ran the wrong way. Coach Price put his hand on his shoulder and said, Roy, game's not over yet. Game's not over. Now go, rise up. I want you to do one more thing. Rise up. He said, all right, coach. Took a deep breath, put on his helmet, went out. Now, they didn't win that game, but I tell you, all of the players in Georgia Tech will attest throughout time that they had never seen anyone play as hard and as committed as Roy Riegels did that second half. They don't even remember the game, but they remember the player, Roy Riegels, that was a different person and played like he'd never played before. God honors that. We forget the scores. I mean, if I asked you who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, who won the national baseball or basketball last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ago, although we spend billions and billions of dollars on that, no one remembers it. But we'll remember the heart of those players that they gave everything they had. So don't worry about the score. Give Jesus all your heart. I'm going to ask you to do that today. I'm going to ask you to say, yes, that's me. I need to receive you as Lord and Savior. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to pray this prayer. Let's all pray it together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone hears. So you hear me, so I hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, we speak that and pray that confidently because we're ready to follow you, to rise up and be the men and women you called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we say amen? Hey, welcome these who said yes to Jesus.
y'all been listening to a message entitled Wanted, Dead or Alive by Cowboy Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. It was part of our annual Cowboy Church service that New Hope puts on each year. Pastor Wayne and the worshipers were dressed for the occasion. Check it out on YouTube by searching on New Hope Cowboy Church. Well, thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
But listen carefully. It doesn't matter how far you run, you cannot outrun the grace of God. No matter how far you go, you cannot go further than what God can reach. Even though you turn your back on God, He will never turn His back on you. Write that down, write it on your heart, and never forget it. Because He comes after you.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all them cowboys at New Hope, you all have a good day. You hear? Howdy.